When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Song. Let's sing it.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Come on.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's it. Sing.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. It's me, Jason Blaze Snyder, Coolest Geek Alive. How are you doing, my coolest geeks? Are you out there? Are you having fun? Are you enjoying geek culture shit, or are you watching Madam Web? I almost went to go see Madam Web yesterday with my buddies. Shout out to my buddy MVP and Aaron Sparrow. Greatness of Aaron Sparrow, as I always talk about him. They saw, with the little Film Threat meetup and Chris Gore and all them, shout out to them as well, the Madam Web last night, and well, let's just say it doesn't really sound like I missed anything. But you know, I want to be focusing on positive shit. I want to lead you guys to great shit. And I'm here today to talk about Animal World, also known as Animal World Mr. Nobody. And it's a Chinese movie. It's fucking awesome. It's based on an anime. I didn't know anything about the anime. I didn't know anything about anything. I hesitated to actually tell you how I discovered the movie, because it's just kind of revealing about me, but I guess we'll talk a little bit about me for a second, just so I can explain how I discovered this movie one day. So I would call myself a plant medicine man. I really believe that the plants are healers and helpers and teachers when they're used correctly. I did not partake in any sort of drug, quote unquote, and I still don't really do any drugs. But plants I do work with, including mushrooms and marijuana. These are things that helped me when I was 28. It was recommended to me by my brothers, and it had been recommended to me by a best friend who passed away years earlier, that marijuana might be beneficial to me, because I suppose they saw that I was a little high strung. And I realized that, it changed my life, that I had anxiety and marijuana generally I've used, since then, on and off, to mitigate anxiety and just help me be more regular. So, which is strange for some people, like, you know, for whatever it is that marijuana does for them. But for somebody who's like really high strung like myself, it just kind of chills me out. So I also eventually went into mushrooms. I've worked with ayahuasca. I've messed around with a lot of this stuff, but very seriously, not like going to a party and freaking out on this stuff. But I will take mushrooms. And this was at the advice of Steve Jobs, ultimately, who said that he would not have invented Apple computers if not for an LSD trip in college. And I found that pretty profound. And I had planned to do it one day when I felt comfortable after the marijuana had gone over relatively well. I started thinking about that. And then, like, 29, I started working with mushrooms, and, you know, I didn't know I was going to be working with them more than just the one time, but the one time was so profound that occasionally I will do, you know, sort of ceremonial things. What I always do is I meditate, usually for like 3 hours, on a big dose of mushrooms, and, you know, do very deep meditations and have lots of type of experiences that people have in meditations, but it takes me like, if I meditate without substance, like I have to meditate for like 8 hours. And I've done that. Like I've literally gone like, I'm going to lay here until something happens. And I've had some pretty profound meditational experience, but it takes a very long, very long time for me and my mind and like to just like click out. But working with the plants, I've had great success, and I've learned so many different amazing things and grown my consciousness in myriad of ways. And things that I would have had to have done going to a monastery or something, I've done working with plants and just taking it seriously. And it's been a very cool experience for me. So why do I tell you all this? Well, because that's how I discovered this movie Animal World. After my 3-hour meditation, I came out of meditation and I just so happened to have Netflix was on, and I don't remember exactly how I came to it. I don't know if it was just happened to be there or I flipped around just a little bit or what, but they were like, watch this. And I was like, I don't generally watch a lot of things on, like I said, I don't do the medicine, like recreationally. So what, like watch this seemed kind of like a strange, pull to me, but my intuition or whatever you might want to call it was telling me to watch Animal World, and not even to watch all of it or anything. I only watched the first 15 minutes of this movie. But to say that it blew my mind is an absolute understatement. I'm so lucky that it made me friggin' watch this movie. I didn't even watch the rest of the movie, even though I watched the beginning of the movie over and over again a bunch of times. I didn't watch the rest of the movie for months. And the rest of the movie is great, even though the rest of the movie doesn't have like any of the shit that's going on in the beginning of the movie. The beginning of the movie is almost a little bit of like a red herring. And I'll describe some of this stuff to you. But like it opens up with just, you meet this guy who's a little crazy, and you see into his mind, and he's living this really mundane job working as like a clown at like a kind of fun zone, discovery zone kind of thing. And pretty quickly, he like kind of like flips in his mind, and you see him. Basically, he's like living in this world where like the evil people, like he can like see them, and they're like, they like turn into all these demons, and he is killing them. He's killing all these demons, and it is like Technicolor, beautiful. I mean, it was the most wonderful thing to be watching on mushrooms to begin with, but you don't need to be on mushrooms to watch it. I've shown it to so many damn people now, because it's so fucking cool. It is just dope. I knew nothing about it, and I was doing my plant medicine thing, and I was drawn to this, I just watched the first 15 minutes, and I don't know if there's a dubbed version that exists. It's not on Netflix anymore. I was nervous that I couldn't find it anywhere for a second, but I found it on YouTube and I watched it for free. So you can find it on YouTube. You can watch it for free there. I don't know where else it's available. It ends very open-endedly with like open for a part two. And apparently this adaptation is not like as true to the anime as some other adaptations have been. Apparently there's a trilogy of three movies based on this, which I'm interested to see now, and I may go back and watch. But fuck, Animal World is amazing. And this first 15 minutes with him as a clown descending into a subway train and wrecking all of these different demons, the choreography, it's CGI special effects, but it's really well done. It all looks great, just the way it's lit and just the colors, and it's beautiful. It's all beautiful. The monsters are gnarly in a great way and unique, and it's so cool. I mean, that 15 minutes alone, I've shown to just dozens of people, because it was on Netflix for a very long time, and nobody seemed to know about it at all. And I was just like, this is fucking incredible. This Chinese movie, it's so cool. And I'll even like, before I talk too much more about it, I'll just give you like quick rundown of like, you know, here's like the facts, like, because, you know, I just know it as a film that I fell in love with and I've been watching for a long time. When I went to go think that I was going to talk about it, I went to go find it and I was like, oh fuck, it's not there anymore, even though I'd kind of watched it relatively recently, I think, so it's been there for a while, years. Anyway, Animal World, Chinese Pinyin Dongwu Shiji. Forgive me, I'm going to mangle all this shit. Also known as Animal World, Mr. Nobody, is a 2018 Chinese action-adventure film written and directed by Han Yan. Fucking A, man. Han Yan, you rule, brother. That movie rules. And starring Li Yifeng and Michael Douglas. And that is cool. Michael Douglas is really awesome in it. He's kind of got a tiny part. But his part's in English, which kind of makes the viewing experience neat when you're like reading the subtitles. The only thing I'll say about the subtitles is they really do go by very quickly. So you miss a lot of things because I don't like to just be constantly going back to rewind. But occasionally you might have to go back to rewind because you'd be like, what did he say? The characters are so fucking good. You know, right from the jump, you know, you get him and this guy and you get this sensational, like crazy sort of mind that he's in. But then you get introduced to, what is like his love interest, you know, who's ultimately barely in the movie, but it makes a total impact, you know, just as this purely sweet girl who believes in him, even though he's a bit crazy and she knows that he's brilliant. And she, you know, believes that he's going to make something of himself. And like, you know, he's wrecked by his mother. And like, he's got a close relationship with this nurse. And he like lives at the hospital because his mother's in a coma there. And I mean, talk about stakes, talk about like having a character in a position that is sympathetic, that your audience wants to see them get out of, like, you know. We want to see him be able to get his shit together so he can get together with this girl. We want to see his mom come out of this coma or him be able to move on with his life in some way. But he's instead, you know, in a dead-end job and struggling for money. And basically you see him tell his mom, he's crying to his mom that he doesn't even have enough. Like, you know, she said, you'd be so ashamed if you saw what had come of your son. You know, he doesn't even have enough money to pay for your hospital bills. So, you know, you see that he's in this really tough money spot in the movie. And and let me just give you like the rest of the information that's right here. It's based on the manga Kaiji by Nobuo Kui Fukumoto. Animal World's produced jointly by Shanghai Ryo Film Production. All right, who gives a shit? Film premiered in China on 2018, June 29th. Netflix has acquired the global digital rights to the film. Okay, cool. This movie is great. It's great. All around, it's fucking awesome. It's an 132 minutes. It's just, you really care about this guy and his situation. Now, mind you, this crazy fight and thing, it's like freaking at least 5 minutes long or whatever that goes on in the subway, and he jumps off a building. It's so cool. It's so like superhero film, like done right, like, and he's wearing a clown costume and it looks fucking badass. You're just like, holy shit, you know, like it's like a colorful clown costume and he's fucking up these demons and you're just like, more of this is great. And you only get so much of that. It really only comes back around again a little bit towards the end. There's some tiny little parts of it here there, but that's just kind of like the setup for the character and the place. And then what comes after that is like a completely different movie, but it's an amazing movie. And so after you get like the stakes for this character with his girl and his craziness and you know what he's like seeing and imagining or whatever else, and you know what he does, like, you know, there's a scene very, very early where he sort of just loses his mind at the hospital and beats up somebody and causes a whole ruckus, and you know, you just, this guy's like close to the edge, you know, kind of thing. And his friend comes to him, who he's known since childhood, who works for the same company that he's, you know, works for as a clown. And he basically says that he needs like just a small amount of money to finish this big deal that he's got. And this big deal is going to be this huge thing. And he's going to be able to pay him back if he can just, you know, give him this money. And the only way for this guy to get the money is for him to mortgage his mother's house or something like that, or apartment. And he basically agrees to do it because he can't afford his mom's bills anyway. And he, you know, he wants to, like, you know, actually take that girl out and have that girl be his girlfriend and, you know, make him, give himself a better life. So he takes a risk. He doesn't even read the contract. It's all in English and he doesn't speak English. And the guy goes off, and basically the next day he is abducted and told he owes this huge amount of money to these really fucked up people, and that his friend got him into really deep trouble with really bad people, and these bad people want him to pay him some absorbent sum of money that he's never going to be able to pay off in his entire life. But it just so happens it is that time of year where this ship is in town, the Destiny ship, and it is offering an opportunity that he can basically pay his way, make his money back that he owes, and maybe actually leave with money on top of it. But he's going into a game of some kind that he does not know the stakes of which, and, you know, really are, but basically suspects it's life or death to some degree. And he reluctantly agrees to do this to save his mother, to save his girlfriend, to save his life, and to fix things. And I'm going to try not to spoil anything kind of more beyond this, because, I mean, I can't spoil the spectacle that is the beginning. I can't spoil everything that you're going to feel for the characters as it's all laid out, because it's really all well done. But I could spoil kind of all sorts of things after this, and I'm going to just speak in vagaries after I get to the main terms. But basically, on the ship, there's, like, let's say 100 people or whatever, and they are told that they are playing a kind of life or death game. Ultimately, they don't know ultimately what happens to you if you lose, but a game of rock, paper, scissors. And they're all being given a dozen cards, a dozen rocks, a dozen papers, a dozen scissors, and going out to play this game. And they are all given 3 stars. And if they lose one star, if they don't end the game with 3 stars, they have to end the game with 3 stars or more and no more cards. So they have to play all their cards and still have 3 stars. If it happens any other way, they lose and they get sent into this, like, weird chamber thing. Who knows what to be done with them, whatever else. If they get more stars, the stars are basically worth a lot of money. They can sell those stars. They can do a lot of things with them. So essentially, they have the opportunity to break even, win a lot, win nothing, maybe not come out with their lives. And there's all sorts of horror stories that, like, get told along the way of, like, what's going on with these people, or they're harvesting their organs, or you know, torturing them or murdering them, like all this stuff. And Michael Douglas is basically the voice piece of this, like, evil organization. He's really good as that thing. And the lead character is such, like, he's just such, like, kind of a beautiful anime guy. Like, he just, like, is, like, perfect. He just, like, looks like your perfect anime character, like exactly what you think they would look like. Just kind of perfectly, just simply handsome, something nice about him around the eyes. He's really understated his performance. He's like this calculated, brooding dude. I really like his performance a lot, actually. And he's super, super duper cool. I should say, this episode of Cool's Geek Alive is brought to you by Ozzy Ozcat, who allowed me to do this show. He was sitting on my microphone, not allowing me to do the show for a little while, but I said, Ozzy, I had to do a show. And now he's here hanging out with me, and I'm petting him, and he's happy about it, and he's letting me do my show. So it's okay. I'm allowed to do the show, right, Ozzy? Still can do the show? Yes, I can. So this game of rock, paper, scissors, though, is super insidious, because basically mixed in amongst the 100 sort of vagrants and down on their luck people who are losing their homes and in terrible situations, and you'll come across so many of them. And what a great, I talk all the time about in writing, you know, the most amplified version of the situation you can get. We were talking about The Thing the other day. You know, The Thing is ultimately about paranoia. Well, how do we get the most, the craziest version of paranoia we can get? Well, we put them in a situation that's otherworldly. And now you get a version of paranoia that you don't even see in real life because it's just, you know, it's not possible. Well, here, the possibilities of this deceitfulness and, you know, cheating is not allowed. You know, you're allowed to cheat in the game, and people are cheating terribly. And you know, there's all sorts of cheating going on. And I'll just say that you know, ultimately, you know, our lead gets into a major disadvantage. He ultimately meets up with his friend who's in the same exact situation as him, you know, the one who got him into this situation in the first place. They make friends with another guy, and you know, and the movie becomes about strategy and sort of card counting and thinking and really trying to figure their way out of this situation. And he is brilliant, as his girlfriend, you know, was the first person to point out, you know, in The Thing, you know, he was the smartest person in our neighborhood, and, like, you know, I really believe in him. And that belief is well placed, and, you know, makes your audience just love him for being smart and, you know, get your way, think your way out of it. It's just, it's a terrible situation. And most of the people in the situation aren't coming out of it. We want him to come out of it. The stakes are high. He's got a mom in a coma. He's got to pay for her medical bills. He's got to take care of her. He's got a girl on the outside who's pining for him. You know, just this movie is built so well. And it's just so well done. Awesome. Powerful. Like I said, it is not the movie that you're going to see for, like, the first 10, 15 minutes. It's not going to be that for the whole movie. There will be some little bits of that, but it will be satisfying. It is awesome. Sorry, there's a helicopter going on outside. I don't know if you guys can hear that. But I'm in LA right now, so helicopters galore. The movie does take a big shift from where it starts, just at least in, like, you know, what you might think is it's going to be about or whatever else. If you haven't seen a trailer like me, where I just went into it high on drugs, until it was a lovely meditation. I learned lots of things that day. It was very good. And I only watched like 15 minutes of it. And then I moved on to other things. I went outside and stuff. I highly recommend psilocybin microdosing. There's all sorts of things that you can read online. For people who have suffered for depression, I suffer for depression, body pain. It's been a really, really beneficial to me. I've done it like in the high dose sort of thing, going in, you know, to sort of grow spiritually. I've had great experiences. You know, definitely something that you should read about. I wrote about it, read about it for months before I did it. But it is something that I do, something that I believe in. It's like sort of like whatever personal religion I have, it's like a part of it. You know, because so many things, I mean, like, inspiration and understanding about myself and the world and so many things I've learned from it, and this was one of the wonderful benefits of it. I didn't have to have anybody recommend this stupid movie to me. I just found it on my own, and I'm so glad I did. You will be so glad you did. It's free on YouTube. It fucking rules. And I don't know, is there anything that I should say about it besides that? Because I don't want to spoil it. I'll just say it's got a cool, like, end credit scene because, you know, it's based on anime. There's like a series of, like, I think it was 5 or 6 books, something like that. So there is more to do if they want to. The story could go more, you know, obviously, you'll see what happens. It's very complex, like everything that goes down, and just, you love it. You love it because it's just all very well thought. It's the shit that's missing from American writing. It's real, a lot of just real intelligence on display throughout the whole fucking movie. And it looks great. Looks great. It's vibey as hell. I really like the performances. You know, even just, you know, through language barrier and stuff. And Michael Douglas is really well placed in it. Yeah. Now, I highly recommend it. And I'll just say quick before I go, I'm in L.A., to shoot more videos for DILF USA. We have one that just came out yesterday, and please and thank you, go check it out. It's on the DILF USA YouTube. DILF USA, Money Ain't Funny. It's actually, it's a parody. It's really great, the video. Me and my girl Julie, we did it. It's fucking awesome. It's our first time doing it, so we got a lot of little technical things, and we're learning from our mistakes, but it's entertaining as hell. We did it with our friends for nothing. You know, I came up with the basic premise and thought, ooh, this would be really fun to put together with Julie. And Julie and I co-wrote it and, you know, co-produced the whole thing. And she directed it and edited it and, you know, everything. You know, I a little assistance from me with some of these things, you know, but it was great. I'm just like so proud of us and so proud of her, because, you know, she did so much more than she's done in the past. And it came out great, and it's really funny, and it's a parody of the strikes, the WGA strikes. And it's really funny. Basically, the joke is, and I don't think it'll like ruin it, like to see it, it's just like at the beginning of the video, you know, we work out in the room and I play like one of the WGA strike negotiators, that we're going to strike for 149 days. And then we're like, you know, like, so what are we going to do for the next 148 days? And then it just shows people striking outside while they play games for 148 days. For 148 days, they play stupid games. And it's just, it's really fucking funny, and I'm proud of it. And that's it. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. It's awesome. It came out great. Anyway, I hope you go check it out. Money Ain't Funny by DILF USA on YouTube now. Anyway, love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you're listening to my podcast every Monday, All Your Favorite Bands Suck. Really been enjoying that. I'm doing Lonely Island this week, some more humor stuff. If you haven't gotten into Lonely Island, that's Andy Samberg's band, you know, Lazy Sunday and, you know, Dick in a Box, but so many other great shit. If you haven't gotten to them, fucking A, listen to that show. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, this is another fabulous episode of Coolest Geek Live for Saturday episode. Please join me again next Saturday and again this Wednesday for another fucking awesome episode of the Coolest Geek Live. Love you all. Peace. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening. It's my favorite part!
Coolest alive. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Stay with your tribe. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Revenge of the Geeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Week after weeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Laughing with you. It's gonna be fucking awesome. And crying sometimes too. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Spilling it out. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Making you shout. Talking some shit. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Living your shit. My voice gonna be fucking awesome. Food in our mouth. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Get in the mouth. It's gonna be listen fucking to the awesome. Reasons. Tell all your friends. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Call right our text. It's gonna be fucking star. Awesome. Raising the bar.
Awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gotta be fucking awesome. Just wait.
see. You'll all see.
You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground.
All right.